podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Deaconess Tiffany Manor. Today, we're going to be talking about God's mission in some places that are in communities just like yours. I'm joined by one of my coworkers, Stephanie Neugebauer, and the Reverend Dr. Nathan Metter, District President of the South Wisconsin District. Welcome to both of you. But we've not had you on at least the Worker Wellness Series, President Metter. So could you please introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit more about you than just your title and your name?
Well, I'm the Reverend Dr. Nathan Metter. I have been president of the South Wisconsin District since June 9th. So the new district president smell is starting to wear off.
At the time of our recording, that's, you know, a little over 3 months.
That's right. Yeah. So but I also have, I've spent 25 years as what my adult children call a real pastor, serving parishes in North Wisconsin, Southern Illinois, and South Wisconsin. I also served as mission executive for the last 3.5 years prior to getting elected. And I got to hang out with these cool people through the Office of National Mission for about a decade and plus, doing some stewardship work with Office of National Mission. So it is great to talk to my friends from the International Center, even though I'm stuck out here in the real world of the church.
You're doing some really important work there. And while we miss seeing you around more frequently, or, you know, seeing you on Zoom, hearing you, you know, on phone calls and things, we're so glad that God is putting your gifts to work in service of so many people there in Wisconsin. And then now through means like this, the broader church as well.
Right.
So you have served for a while in God's mission locally. So I'd love to hear you describe with the basics about what God's mission is, you know, where it is, who gets to be involved. How do you describe to your people there in the district what God's mission is?
Well, one of the things that I've really started to talk about, you know, back in the day when I was a young, dashing young college student at CUW, I did a little radio on campus at WCUW that about 12 people listened to, and it was about, and one of the discs that we played was a song by Scott Wesley Brown saying, "Please don't send me to Africa," you know, and we thought that that mission was something that is over yonder, and how we talked about it, it really kind of bled into that. And then, by the time I was graduating and heading to the seminary, that's when they declared North America the third largest mission field in the world. And that was a moniker, but I don't know that we changed how we did business. And then the world continued to kind of unwind a little bit. And then we realized, we're really starting to realize, especially here in South Wisconsin, where we have the impact of school choice. Mm-hmm. Now what's happening is that mission that we thought was over yonder, and then, well, it's somewhere here in North America, but of course not in my neighborhood. And well, maybe it is a little bit in my, now it's walking in our door every day. And that really has helped reorder us and understand that mission starts where there's a pulpit, altar, and a font. It begins there. The mission that we carry out with out to the world, that is something that doesn't come from us. We don't discover it in a textbook. It's delivered to us in word and sacrament ministry. That's where, you know, we don't belong there, but we have our admission pass in the invocation. It carries us through, and we get grace upon grace upon grace, and then all of a sudden we get to the end, and the benediction, you know, we sometimes erroneously think of it, you know, it's this, the liturgical equivalent of the that's all, folks, and really it's ascending, and that's where we take that, you know, that mission goes outward, and that's exactly what's patterned in Acts 1:8, you know, where it talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It goes out, and if we're that's the essence of God's mission here. It's a mission that originates in eternity in the heart of God, but it flows through the means that delivers that heart word and sacrament ministry, confession, absolution, baptism, Lord's Supper, rightly distinguishing law and gospel. And then what is rightly distinguished, what is shared according to its institution by Christ, then is sent out into the world to those who are they don't even know they need it. In many cases, they feel the brokenness, but they don't know why they're broken. They feel the isolation, but they don't know why they're isolated. And that's where we get to come alongside that God's mission here, in that very concentric core circle of our being, the people that God puts around us, so that we can, you know, so we can embody the gospel. And that's really where it dovetails with my stewardship stuff that we talk about. You know, we were created to be a reflection of the Creator within creation. And then we botched that, and then God redeems us in the perfect steward that is Jesus. And then we are baptized into Jesus, so that we, you know, when we're baptized, we put on Christ. Well, what is Christ? He's the image of the invisible God. We then become bearers of that image. So what's happening in God's mission here is we are fundamentally stewards of the gospel. Everything else that we do is ultimately derived from that office of steward of the gospel, and that happens wherever God puts us.
Well, speaking of where God puts us, as you were describing, the church is in the word and sacrament ministry, and we have certain workers there in those places who are called to serve us. So let's talk about these workers, their health, their well-being, which we refer to as worker wellness. Mm-hmm. And how is that a mission of Christ Church? How is the wellness of our church workers a mission of Christ Church?
It's a lesson I learned from the 5 years I spent just across the river from you at Zion and Staunton. One of the additional things I picked up was to be the chaplain firefighter or firefighter chaplain. And the great lesson I learned, and this is when our chief was so good at this, you can't help anybody if you don't arrive on scene safely. So yes, I can drive like a bat out of a certain eternal hotspot, but if I don't get the truck there in one piece and my firefighters there healthy, I haven't accomplished anything. So you do need to take care of the rig, you need to take care of the men. And that translates over into our stewardship of the gospel, because you know the stewardship of the gospel, while it is eternal, it is delivered through means. It's delivered as the word is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered according to their institution by Christ. That is delivered by a human being. The human being needs to take care of his body. It's very difficult for me to deliver the gospel if I am stuck in my bed, if I'm in a hospital, you know. And there comes, and how we treat our body is a reflection of who made it and who redeemed it. And so it does become incumbent on us to take care of the whole person. And you can't give away the gospel if you can't get in the game, if you can't get on scene. And some of it is dealing with the stuff that comes with daily life. I mean, we age. The old gray mare ain't what she used to be. So you learn how to manage what you've got for the sake of the kingdom. But the mistakes we make in our early years set up limitations that we can't overcome in our later years. So it's important that we introduce a culture of mental, physical, spiritual, financial health early in ministry so that we're not having to make the drastic changes late in ministry. You know, it's the ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. It's a lot easier to eat healthy when you're 25 than to lose 80 pounds when you're 55. So it's very important for us to think along those lines of being stewards of who we are so that we can be stewards of what we've been given to reflect to the world, which is the gospel.
There's a lot that you've said there that we should unpack a little bit more. That was fantastic. And, you know, you said something there towards the end about the different what I refer to as like aspects of wellness. Like, you know, we think of people as whole beings created by God, body and soul. And you mentioned physical, emotional. I forget which all you said.
Physical, mental, spiritual, financial.
Financial, yep. And sometimes we might add to that vocational, relational, intellectual. I mean, there's a lot of ways we can describe wellness, but that concept of a whole person, not just body, not that Platonic view of, you know, a soul is more important than body, or, you know, but God created all of us. So, you know, that's really a holistic approach to wellness. And I think it would be good if we could talk more about that. Like, you know, what do we mean when we say holistic? Because it can kind of sound like holy, but it's not exactly holy. And I think, Stephanie, you might have thoughts here, but President Metter, what do we mean by holistic?
Well, I think it's understanding that we can't compartmentalize these. They're interconnected. So, you know, it's very interesting that I'm preaching this weekend on the last part of Luke 16, where it's the, you know, you can't serve two masters, mm-hmm. you know, and then, of course, you know, there's the old Bobby McFerrin text, don't worry, be happy, except it's not about that. You know, we understand that, you know, we are beset by anxieties. You know, there's the anxiety of my physical health. You know, I'm not in the shape I really want to be. And that affects my whole being. Mm-hmm. Anxiety related to finances. Boy, is that a big deal. You know, our younger couples are trying, you know, our younger workers are trying to figure out how to balance the a new ministry, how to balance a new maybe the arrival of a new family, and oh yeah, by the way, I've got 8 years worth of student loans to pay for, and that creates all kinds of that creates physical, relational, you know, that, you know, there's three things that cause the greatest stress in marriages, not just worker marriages, but any marriages. It's money, it's family, and it's intimacy, and it's usually a perceived lack of all three, and it creates all kinds of problems that affect the others. You know, so you cannot be holistically healthy and be in a financial trash heap. You cannot be holistically healthy. No matter, you can have more money than God, but if you don't have your relationships stewarded properly, you're not going to be healthy. You know, if you don't have your theology healthy, none of the other things matter. So it's this interconnectedness. We are it fits Paul's body theology that we read about in his letters. You know, we're one body with many members, and no member is unimportant. You know, so you think of the human body. You know, when was the last time you thought about your little toe when it wasn't stubbed on the coffee table? You know, and yet if your little toe's not there, you're going to have trouble walking. You know, so there's an interrelated, and some of us think, you know, when we talk about the body theology, some of us think we're the appendix. We don't know why it's there, but when it's inflamed, everybody knows. You know, so, and yet we're told that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are knit together in our mother's womb, and we can't lose that imagery. Every knot in that knitting is important. There's no unimportant knot. One of those knots comes loose and the whole thing's gone. So we do have to approach this holistically. And it's that interconnectedness.
So now we've talked about what we kind of mean by the approach to holistic wellness, but we've also mentioned the word stewardship a couple times. And you are one of the LCMS stewardship guys. For many, though, listening, it's probably a little bit hard to reconcile how stewardship is more than simply what many would perceive as dealing only with finances or funding. A lot of churches have what they call Stewardship Sunday or even a Stewardship Month, where there's often an emphasis on tithing, offerings, how they...
You're hurting me.
Yeah, I'm just saying, right. It's out there.
Right.
And in addition to that, we also, like, just in our society in general, if if the word steward is mentioned, we then also think about nature and God's creation or the earth.
Right.
But you are using stewardship, and the word steward is something greater than all of those things. Can
Absolutely.
You explain then, what do you mean by being a steward, whether it's a steward of the gospel, whether it's a steward of your own body or self? What is that, and then how is it connected to this topic of wellness?
Okay, great question. Thanks for throwing me the softball. I'm going deep with this one. Here's the deal. We were created for the purpose of being a steward. In fact, I contend that is our single vocation. You go to Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28, and you're going to find the words of institution for the office of steward. It's there we're told that we were created in the image of God. The word image doesn't mean God looks like me, because we'd have a much better looking God. But the reality is the word Hebrew word tselem means, the Greek word in the Septuagint is icon. So if you get your little iPhone and you got your programs, you've got a little picture of a much larger program that's hidden behind it. We were created to be that, to be a reflection of the Creator within creation. Okay, and the problem is, when we fell, Genesis chapter 3, when we fell, what happened is we tried to be the owner. Okay, so this is a little exercise I do when I teach stewardship. You know, I ask somebody to say, I want you to think of your most prized possession. And then I usually insert the little Jeopardy theme, and somebody comes up with the prized possession. And then I tell them, I'm going to prove to you that it's not yours. And all I have to do is go to Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all those who dwell therein. So if what you came up with as your most prized possession is a thing, your boat, your car, your house, your, for me, I'm a golfer, my brand new driver, those kind of things. Well, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay, if you're more sanctified, and usually it's the women involved, they say, it's my children. Well, guess what? That's part of, and all those who dwell therein. But now let me take it up one more notch. Who else is amongst all those who dwell therein? You. You don't belong to yourself. So we are created to be a reflection of the creation, to do His thing. So how we manage all of life and life's resources is a reflection of what we believe about the Creator. And when we fall into sin, we claim that, well, this is mine. Well, no, it's not. You see, and that's where it becomes very critical. When you get stewardship wrong, you are claiming ownership over something that doesn't belong to you. So we have to, but what we have to fully come to grips with is what we're actually taking. You know, Eve did not take a fruit off the produce section at Schnucks, okay? What she was really taking was God's place. So when you are a failed steward, you are not a miser, you are not cheap, you are an idolater. And if you want to understand the impact of idolatry, then you go to the other end of the scriptures, Revelation 22:15, where it gives the laundry list of those who are on the outside, the dogs, the sexually immoral, the liars, oh yes, and the idolaters. Idolatry, poor stewardship, can separate you from Jesus. And if we were created to be a reflection of the Creator in every aspect of our life, every other vocation that we have in our life, husband, spouse, you know, or spouse, parent, student, teacher, employee, whatever down the line, all of it derives from our identity as steward of creation. And then we blow it, God redeems us in Christ, and then what He does, the unthinkable, He gives it back to us. He says, here, now manage this again. Except the only thing we really have to manage that's worth managing is the gospel. You know, all these things that we've historically called stewardship, you know, like you were saying, Stephanie, when they think of stewardship, when they hear the stewardship guy from Synod is coming, women clutch their purses and men guard their wallets. Okay, and we, frankly, the church earned that because we taught it badly for about 70 years. Okay, Heath Curtis and I think we've tried to make a dent in it, so I'm working on it. But ultimately, all these things that we've historically called stewardship, time, talents, treasure, they're not stewardship. They're the means by which we steward the one thing needful, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. The chairman of the congregation I served up in Wausau, he's a retired diesel mechanic. One of the greatest things, he went to, you know, Pastor, the only thing we can take out of this is our faith, and even God gave that to us. And that's really all we're a steward of. Everything else within creation, how we manage the created order, and then we come from a different perspective. You know, like you said, you alluded to this, Stephanie, how people talk about environmental stewardship. Well, but it's coming from, they use the same word, but it's coming from a totally different perspective. You know, they say, we have to have clean air and clean water and clean soil, or we're all going to die. Have a nice day. Okay? But that's a Christian. We want clean air and clean water and clean soil because God made it and our neighbor needs it. That's a totally different thing. That's a totally different approach. And the one thing our neighbor needs most, other than clean air and clean water and clean soil, is a clean and clear path to Jesus, who balances the equation between us and God, who reconciles the world to himself with the currency of his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And so that we then can share that. You know, and that's how we become stewards of the body, mind, and spirit of our neighbors, which happen not on, this goes back to the first question, which happens not just on the other side of the world, please don't send me to Africa, but in many cases starts happening right in our own homes, where our spouse who doesn't go to church with us anymore, or our kids who got confirmed and couldn't find church if we send them a map, you know, this is the coworker. This is the person that you run into at the Quick Trip. You know, you spell them with a Q down there. We spell them with a K, and ours are better. But you get to the counter, and they've got tats all over the place and piercings where you go, ooh, that had to hurt. But they still need they need this stewardship of the gospel too. So that becomes this holistic approach, and it's a lot of work, and that's why I have to stay healthy too.
Well, in this vocation that you have now, serving in the district, first your role was the mission executive and now district president, you get to interact with a lot of people, a lot of the church workers, the congregations, the lay people there, the lay leaders. And as you're helping them to understand a whole lot of things, not just stewardship,
right,
but certainly stewardship, but you know, in regard to the stewardship of the gospel that they do in their local word and sacrament ministry and the decisions they make that impact the church workers. So I'm talking about the lay leaders, right? The lay leaders are making decisions that impact their church workers. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for them, you know, for their stewardship, decision-making, considering their church workers as whole people and the neighbor to whom they serve?
I think the first thing you have to do is you have to see all of that, all of those tangential vocations of stewardship, the derivative stewardships, through the lenses of the core of the stewardship of the gospel. You know, so as we look at one of the, and I'm going to kind of give you a little sneak peek of what we're going to be talking about in the next triennium here in South Wisconsin. So if you imagine at the very center of a diagram, at the very center is a circle that says, we are stewards of the gospel, okay? And that means stewards of the gospel are stewards of faithful families, because that's where everything starts. And faithful family, and those families, they all look like the Lego blocks, okay? You know, I'm old enough where we didn't have Legos. I had Lincoln Logs, but my children had Legos. And the beautiful thing about Legos is the different pieces. Sometimes they have one post on them. Sometimes they have two. Sometimes four. Sometimes six or eight. And yet, you know, and each one of them is unique. Each one of those is a, and if you want to think about those Legos with the individual posts, the different numbers, that's the different kind of families that we steward, okay? But then we snap them together, and that becomes the faithful congregation. And the congregation, we need to be caring for our workers and our brothers and sisters in Christ within that framework, and as we are caring for the congregation, and we're caring for those those faithful families, which include the families of our church workers, it's all seen that this is our stewardship of the gospel. We do this, you know, as the families are gathered around family altars, as the families. Now, that also includes, from a congregational point, we need to make sure that we're paying them more than minimum wage. Okay, I understand it's a challenge, you know, because our dear friends at Concordia Plans, they don't get any cheaper. They do great work, but they don't get any cheaper. And those church workers, I mean, they do rude things like want to like feed their children and pay their mortgage. And put braces on their kids' teeth, and every once in a while buy them a pair of tennis shoes. And yet, for the congregation, the lay leaders, when you make sure that your workers are well cared for, that's one of those stresses that gets out of the way so that together we can be faithful stewards of the gospel. Taking care of your pastor, taking care of your deaconess, taking care of your DCE, taking care of your church musician, your Lutheran educator, that's all part of stewardship of the gospel, so that they are free to do what God has given them to do for you and for your neighbor.
I love how it all comes back to the gospel, being a steward of the gospel.
Listen, if we don't have the gospel at the center, we are a country club without a golf course and a pool. Mm-hmm. What's the point? It's got to come back to the gospel. Mm-hmm. If your wellness program isn't centered around the gospel, you will slip off into paganism. If your financial plan isn't centered around the gospel, you will gravitate into greed. If your interpersonal stuff, it'll become selfishness and victimization. The only thing that keeps us in check is our identity as baptized children of God. I have something entrusted to me that is unique, and that is what God has given me in the waters of holy baptism. I don't deserve it, but he's entrusted it to me. See, that's the other thing. I don't talk about gifts. I never talk about gifts in connection to stewardship, because a gift denotes ownership. If I give Stephanie a gift, I no longer control how it's managed. If I give it to her, it's a transfer of ownership. So she can say, oh, I got a gift from the district president of South Wisconsin. You know, take it home, put it on a shelf, light candles and all that kind of stuff. Don't do that. All right. Or she can say, oh, a gift from the district president. Oh, a gift from the district president. You know, I have no control over that. But what happens when we see this as a trust, there is an accountability to the one who puts the trust in us. And everything we are and we have, Psalm 24, verse 1, it's all his. So we are accountable to him in the way we manage it. And, you know, and this is where our definition of stewardship, which we've had forever, is still good. You know, Christian stewardship is the free and joyous activity of the child of God and God's family of the church in managing all of life and life's resources for God's purposes. There are no compartments that are left out. And all of it is managed for God's purposes. Why? Because all of life and all of life's resources belong to him anyway.
I can think of no better place to end this podcast. Thank you so much, President Metter, for joining us today.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.